Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. My name is David, and I am the local pastor of Vintage Church West. If you're checking us out for the first time today, welcome. You belong here, and I'm so glad that you have joined us. To learn more about who we are and how you can worship with us in this season, both online and in person, I encourage you to visit our website, vintagenc.com/west. And if you have considered yourself a regular attender during this time, would you please like and share this video both on Facebook and YouTube? Part of our mission statement as a church is to advance the gospel. And one of the best ways that we can spread this good news in this season is to simply like and share these videos. So thank you for doing that. Today we enter into a new series, which I'm so excited about. But before we jump in, would you please pray with me? God, though we are scattered amongst our various homes and apartments, we know that you unify us right now in this moment as we seek to make much of Jesus. So Holy Spirit, I'm praying that you would do just that. Would you help these words to come alive? Would you help them pierce our hearts and change us more into his image? And it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. Well, our goal this year as a church is to experience the kingdom. And so all of our sermon series have been planned to really help us reach that destination. We started by learning about the incommunicable attributes of God, entered into a series on the Lord's Prayer, and then we spent several weeks, if not months, in the book of Matthew studying Jesus' very words on the Sermon on the Mount. And just recently, just last week, we finished our series in the book of Daniel, where we were really spending time comparing and contrasting the kingdom of God to the kingdom of this world. And honestly, we have seen the Holy Spirit move in incredible ways as we've been planning and preaching this series, as our society has really walked through a tumultuous year, one filled with natural disasters, a worldwide pandemic, a divisive political season, but one that is also right now crying out for justice. And so the question really becomes, if our church desires to experience the kingdom in 2020, what does God have to say about the topic of justice? And how can we experience that in the here and now, not only for ourselves, but our neighbors, the city, and even the world? So to help us, today we are beginning a series called The Kingdom of Justice, where we'll spend 8 weeks in the book of Isaiah, who was one of many prophets that God raised up to speak to his people. Essentially, the job description of a prophet was to enter into the nation when it was walking in disobedience towards God and use very pointed words to both rebuke or exhort the people, calling the nation to repent, to turn away from their brokenness and rebellion and run back towards God. And Isaiah was used in a time when injustice and idolatry were, quite frankly, rampant in the people of Israel. So God used him both to denounce these practices and tell of a coming day when God would put an end to these practices for good, prophesying about a coming king who would come to establish true justice and true peace on this earth, and of whose kingdom, as we read about in Daniel chapter 7, there will be no end. So a few ground rules as we kind of enter into this series together. Number one, would you please commit to being all in? This is a series that will build upon itself. Week two is not going to make sense if you missed week one and so forth. So would you please come each week? We have opportunities to gather in person at Apex Community Park Sundays at 10 a.m. if you'd like to do that. If you can't make that, we encourage you to worship with us online. But I'm asking you, would you be all in for these 8 weeks as we're studying what God would have to say about justice? Number two, would you join a community group if you haven't already? We believe that Sundays bring conviction as we share God's word, and community groups are where we hash that out throughout the week. So if you have a desire to connect to a group, if you're not one in already, please email me at david.mobley@vintagenc.com and we will get you connected. And finally, if you were to ask 10 people to define the word justice, you would undoubtedly get 15 answers, some that are pages, if not novels long. So to lay the foundation for these 8 weeks, this will be the definition that we are going to use. Biblical justice is giving all people what they are due. Again, I'll say it again. Biblical justice is giving all people what they are due. And I'm going to try my best to keep that in front of us each and every week that we walk around. But the framework for our conversation, as you'll see as we go through this sermon today, has to be what Scripture says, both about justice and injustice. Not the government, not a certain political party, not a movement, not yourself, and not your friends. It has to be what God would say through His Word. Now, with that laid out, we enter into our passage today, which, as you saw, is Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And we're going to start in verses 1 through 2, where the prophet is really receiving his commissioning from God Himself. The text says this: "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew." I mean, this passage is honestly one of the best passages that we could kind of have after transitioning from our last sermon on the book of Daniel chapter 7. Because no doubt Isaiah probably sees some incredible things in this vision. But the focal point of what he sees is not the temple, it's not the seraphim, it's not anything else but God Himself. And Isaiah makes it abundantly clear who is in charge, right? If you look at the text again, he says that he sees God sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. So, like we said last week in Daniel chapter 7, God is King of kings and Lord of all, whose dominion is an everlasting one, and whose kingdom will never be destroyed. This is who Isaiah sees. And this is one of the biggest takeaways that we'll establish both now for our time together, but also this entire series, is that we always have to start the conversation with who God is and what He says. No matter the topic, no matter the question, no matter the season of life or dilemma, followers of Christ have to start with who God is and what He says, and then apply it to our lives. Not the other way around. If there's a disagreement, we can't come with our preferences and what culture would say and come to God's word and say it's wrong. No, it's the other way around. We start with who God is, what He says, and we look at that into our lives. And if things aren't matching up, then we need to address how we're living or not living according to Scripture. Because between followers of Christ, there's really no need for apologetics or opinions. We have to go back to what does God say? Am I living according to His word? And so I'll ask you, if you're a follower of Christ, what has been your guiding perspective on justice and lack thereof in our country? Is it what your parents told you? Is it what you heard about in school? Is it what you read 15 comments down into an article that you saw or that you shared on Facebook? Is it what CNN or Fox has reported? I mean, engaging with those things is fine, but where is God's word in that discussion? And this may surprise you, but God has a lot to say about justice. Well, we'll see that in the book of Isaiah, but if you just look all through Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, God is a just God. And He has a lot to say about justice and when He sees lack thereof among His people. And if we're not grounded in God's word, right, turning it into every season for everything, no matter the issue, like we talked about, if we're not turning to His word, then we'll simply be like reeds in the wind, just blowing to and from, influenced by every recent event in media slant or opinion from ourselves or even our neighbors. I mean, you name it. Now, if you're not a follower of Christ and you're joining us today, maybe you're doubting or seeking when it comes to your faith. I want to welcome you again. You belong here. I'm so glad that you've joined us. And I know it's tempting to check out when I say that when we start this conversation of justice, we have to start with what God would say. I mean, even just saying that God exists is a big claim to make, and I totally understand that. My question to you today that I would invite you into is, where else should we turn for guidance? Because it seems to me that governments, political parties, organizations, the news, other men and women, including myself, constantly change their opinion and perspective, especially in this, you know, kind of instant, real-time reporting society. But if the Bible's claim is true, then there's one true God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging, which is so unlike the world around us today. And honestly, for me, it's kind of a breath of fresh air. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, it would seem like it's at least worth investigating what God himself would have to say regarding justice within the creation that he made. So I'm asking, if you're even a doubter or a seeker, maybe you're not part of Vintage Church yet, would you come back week in and week out and see what God and his word would have to say? Now, that being said, let's continue into our passage, verses 3 through 4 of Isaiah 6. Say this. And one called out to another and said, again, this is Isaiah seeing the seraphim. They say this, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke." What's holy in this passage? Is it the seraphim? Is it the temple? Is it Isaiah? Is it you and me? No, absolutely not. It's the Lord, right? The seraphim say it no less than three times. Holy, holy, holy. Now, have you ever gone out on a date and when you've seen your significant other, you've said something like, "You are beautiful, beautiful, beautiful," or "You're brilliant, brilliant, brilliant." Some of you were like, "No, I haven't done that, but I should try that," right? But no, there's an emphasis there when you're saying something three times, right? And this passage makes it abundantly clear that the Lord is the one who is holy. But what does that word even mean? Right? Holy. It can be a Christianese word, right? And there's a lot of definitions out there, but here's a good one that I found. It's exalted, or someone who's worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. Perfect in goodness, perfect in righteousness. What else in our lives is like that? We would say nothing. Yeah, I constantly find myself listening to, reading, agreeing with, putting weight on, if you will, other women, men, or things as if they were, but they're not. And I'm going to say it again, we need to keep this in front of us. We've got to start with the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Not my parents, news station, political leader, or any organization. Now, if you were Isaiah and you saw this vision that we just read about, how would you respond? Awe? Wonder? Fear? Feeling like you're on a holy ground? Are you coming expectant? Right? Now, before we transition, I've got to ask, do we feel that way about reading God's word? Are we coming expectant? Are we coming in awe? Are we coming in wonder? Right? You and I may not receive visions like Isaiah is receiving right now, but when we read scripture, we're reading the very words of the one who is holy, 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 whose glory fills the earth. We have to start with the Lord. Let's continue reading in verse 5. And this is Isaiah speaking. "And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When Isaiah sees the Lord, and when he has this healthy view of God compared to his people, this is his response. Woe is me. I'm lost. And here's the big one, right? He says, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. When compared to someone perfect in goodness and righteousness, like we talked about that definition earlier, how would you stack yourself up? Worthy or unworthy? Clean or unclean? Because our culture would say that we're all inherently good people with good intentions. So we ought to fight for our idea of moralism. In other words, just do the right thing. Do what's good, right? Well, I would ask you, how well has that gone? Not just in recent months, but in centuries, and really since the existence of mankind. I know this is a hard statement, and we like to push back on this, but it's righteousness can't be relative, right? And along that same lines, justice can't be relative. There has to be some absolute. There has to be some, this is the basis for comparison. And what better person to start with than the one who is holy, holy, holy? Now, I don't want to be doom and gloom here, but I do think that we need a healthy perspective on both the world around us and ourselves as we enter into this time together. Because on the topic of justice, and especially on the topic of racial reconciliation, racial justice, or lack thereof, I often find myself saying things like, I'm not a racist. I've never condoned that. Right? I've never been actively against someone based on the color of their skin. I'm not a bad person. But after reading this passage, when we look at Isaiah's response here, I realize that I have to check my heart. Because I would argue that Isaiah was a holy man. I mean, just read chapters 1-5 up to this point, outside of our time together, and you'll see that Isaiah was a devout, religious, and really just a holy man. But what's his response when he stands before the King of Kings? Woe is me. I'm lost, right? And in other words, like, I don't belong here. I'm not worthy to stand in your presence. Friends, we have to be willing to address the condition of our hearts. Not how I would be labeled or considered relative to those around me, but what God would have to say about my heart. But it's not only Isaiah who's the issue if you look at this passage. It's also his nation, right? If you look at the text again, he says, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Now, I think one of the important things to notice here is that Isaiah did not blame his nation first, right? He didn't say, man, I can't stand in your presence because of this nation I live in. No, he started with himself. Woe is me. I have unclean lips, right? And then he talks about his nation. So he's taking ownership for his own heart before the presence of the Lord, but he's also lamenting for his people. Now, I don't want to dive into this too much today because we're going to address it in weeks to come, but I will say that followers of Christ, like Isaiah, need to take ownership for lamenting for our community and ourselves. It's not one or the other, which is often the case, right? We'll lament for ourselves and turn a blind eye with what's going on in the community around us, or we'll blame the world around us and take no ownership for our hearts. It has to be one or the other. And again, we'll walk into that as we go into future weeks here. Now, here in this time, we need to come back to this biblical definition of justice, which we talked about, right? Which is giving all people what they are due. And if God really is who Scripture says, which in this text is holy, 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 then what's he do? Well, back to our definition of holy, he's worthy of complete devotion as one who is perfect in goodness and righteousness. And if we're being honest, like Isaiah, have we given the Lord what he is due? Complete devotion and obedience towards him? Well, I know I haven't. And here enters the dilemma, because justice now enters the picture. And we as a society love to talk about justice when it's for us, when it's for our loved ones or those that we relate to. We think justice is a great thing. But oftentimes we don't talk about justice when we are the ones that are found to be guilty. So now we enter into this really hard time. And Isaiah's response is essentially, I'm doomed. That's what he's saying here. Woe is me. I don't belong here. I'm unclean. I'm doomed standing before God. And so I think that we need to struggle with the same thing here. When we read God's word, which calls us to walk in his image, pursue righteousness, to care for the orphan and the widow, to value the sanctity of life, and to treat other men and women as he does and love them as he does, and we don't do those things, what would our response be if we stood before the King of Kings? If we stood in the temple that Isaiah's standing in? What do we do, right? Well, luckily, the story continues for Isaiah, and it continues for us today. We'll finish our time in verses 6 through 7. They say this. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Friends, this is one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture, because Isaiah was not the one to clean his own lips. Isaiah didn't even approach the throne, right? The Lord, through the seraphim, pursues Isaiah, and he cleans Isaiah. Right? Because here's the thing. When we rightfully see ourselves before the King of Kings, we realize that there's nothing that we can do to atone for the injustices towards him, just like Isaiah, right? Because biblical justice is giving all people what they are due. And when you and I rebel against God, we're due his wrath and eternal separation from him. And listen, I know that these are hard things to talk about, especially when we're separated from each other with a camera right now and in this season. I know that they're hard things. But again, I would encourage you to see what Scripture would have to say on this topic, right? When God is due complete devotion and we don't live up. I mean, even this passage makes it abundantly clear that God is perfect and just, and I am not. And like any other justice system, that there has to be some type of consequence. And if there's not, well, then it's simply not justice. But luckily for us, this passage is just a foreshadowing of the gospel, right? Knowing the justice that awaited his people due to the injustices that we committed against him, Jesus enters into this world, fully God and fully man, to live the life perfectly pleasing to God the Father that you and I cannot. One of complete devotion, just like we read about in that definition of holy, right? But here's the crazy thing about the gospel, which just turns things upside down. In the most astonishing way, while he's fighting for his enemies that committed injustice against him, we continue to act unjustly against him. When he's on trial, you and I all are yelling, crucify him, crucify him. The very one who came to save me from the righteous and just wrath of the God of heaven. And so Jesus willingly lays his life down on a cross. He lives the perfect life that you and I could not. And then he dies the death that was reserved for the worst of criminals. And in that moment, he absorbs the full wrath of God. So that now, because God is a just God, anyone who would believe in Jesus, right, has their injustices towards God removed by Jesus himself. And so, if you're a doubter or a seeker today, I want to invite you into this relationship. See the penalty that you and I are due because of our injustice towards God, who is holy, holy, holy. And yet, the justice that he endures on the cross so that we may be made right with him. Would you believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? And for followers of Christ, we walk in the footsteps of Jesus to manifest true biblical justice in the world around us. But the only way that we can start that journey is to have a healthy and correct view of who God is and what he calls his people to. And we simply cannot do that without being in his word. Our goal as followers of Christ is not to pick a side amongst those around us trying to define what justice is and is not, but to live as ambassadors in this world, sharing what God himself would have to say on the topic. So yes, we have to become historians, learning the complexities of the country and the world around us, both the good and the bad. Not just hundreds of years ago, but weeks ago, days ago, probably even just moments ago. Yes, we have to be relational, acting as bridge builders with other men and women simply because the gospel is enough. If Jesus was willing to die for you, I should be willing to love you. Yes, we need to be relational. But more foundationally, friends, we have to be theologians, committed to constantly learning about who God is and his will for his people. And the way that we do that is through prayer and the reading of his word. So I encourage you, as we've been encouraging you for months, read books, listen to podcasts, read articles, engage in conversations with other folks around you. But if you're a follower of Christ, would you let everything that you do be rooted in the very character of who God is, what he's done for his people, and how he calls us to respond? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Let's start with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that you are holy and we are not. Help us to see that we have all missed the mark in giving you the devotion and the worship and the praise and the glory that you are rightfully due. Thank you that while we were the ones guilty of injustice towards you, you took the initiative towards us through the person and the works of Jesus Christ to pay the penalty that we owed, so that all who would believe in his life, death, and resurrection are reconciled with you both now and into eternity. Would you open up the hearts of those who are watching right now to run into the arms of Jesus, the relationship that you've invited us into today? And Holy Spirit, would you fuel followers of Christ to always start with the Lord, with all matters in our lives? Help us to be a people who are entrenched in prayer and the reading of your word. God, we ought to take walking in your image and living as ambassadors in the world around us seriously. So would you help us to do just that? We love you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray all these things. Amen. Well, now we enter into a time of response, and we're going to kind of switch things up this time. Today, I really encourage you to spend time in prayer and reflection. Like Isaiah, I encourage you to enter into a time of confession, recognizing who God is and what he's called us to, and how we've quite frankly missed the mark. This can be a time of lamenting not only for yourself, but also the world around us. But here's the key. As followers of Christ, we don't spend this time in condemnation from the enemy, as if we're in quicksand, just getting sucked down and sucked down and sucked down, like there's no hope and there's no future. But when we do this time in conviction from the Holy Spirit to empower us, right, to be renewed and transformed into the image of Jesus, right, in this time, we know that it's because of Jesus' works alone, that our position before God the Father is signed, sealed, and delivered. So would you come in boldness during this time of prayer and confession and assurance of pardon. We also encourage followers of Christ to take a meal called communion, where we take the bread, which represents the body of Christ, and we dip it into the juice, which represents his blood that was shed for us. And during this time, as you prepare and take this meal, I want you to remember the works of Jesus, the injustice that we committed towards him, and yet the injustice that he bore on our behalf. I encourage you, would you take this meal with a heart of thanksgiving? Part of following Jesus is also leveraging everything that we have to make much of his name, because this is such good news. And that includes our finances. And the best way that you can give to the mission of Vintage Church in this season is by texting the word VINTAGE to 77977. Again, VINTAGE to 77977, where you'll be taken to a secure link through your phone. Or you can visit our website, vintagenc.com, where you can learn more about how to give online. And finally, we conclude our time envisioning what Isaiah the prophet saw. I'm gonna read it for us now. If you just want to close your eyes and visualize this, our text says this: He sees the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook, and the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. With this vision, we praise Jesus through song, thanking him for who he is and what he has done. Thank you for joining us this morning, and we'll see you next week.